You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Washington, D.C. office of the law firm Polsinelli. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Daniel Malarkey, Tracy Hammond, Matthew Ross, and Laura DeSantis Thane, my co-hosts from the law firm of Polsinelli. And we have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Donna Harmon, President and CEO of the American Forest and Paper Association, John White, President, Consortium for Ocean Leadership, Rob Luna, President of Airtech, and Guy Berliner, Owner and President of Berliner Specialty Distributors. Let's get to know our first guest, Donna Harmon, President and CEO of American Forest and Paper Association. Donna, what is the American Forest and Paper Association? What do you guys do?
We're the National Trade Association for the pulp, paper, packaging, and tissue, wood, and wood products industry, and we represent our member companies with fact-based public policy advocacy.
Mm-hmm. And how large or how small is this organization?
We have a budget of about $20 million a year and about 65 full-time staff.
All righty. And that's a large organization. So where are you from originally?
I grew up in Dodge City, Kansas.
Dodge City, Kansas. And let's see. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one brother, one older brother.
One older brother. And what did you told us earlier that mom and dad, we were talking in the green room, mom and dad owned a clothing store or something like that?
That's correct. My parents owned a men's clothing store in Dodge City.
And how young were you when you started working in that men's clothing store?
Well, when I was paid, I was about 13. And
When you started working in that store, what kind of stuff were you brought in to do?
I did whatever needed to be done. In a family business, everybody pitches in and running the cash register, waiting on customers as they come in. I also learned to sew a bit and did some alterations on men's clothing.
Mm-hmm. What did you learn about running this organization, the American Forest and Paper Association, which is $20 million, 65 people, 100 members, and represents 900,000 people. What did you learn working in a men's clothing store in Kansas?
The customer is always right,
what
number
do you mean?
One.
What do you mean? Mm-hmm.
And number two, I think I learned that it's a service business. It's a service organization. When you're selling men's clothing, you're trying to help your customers, help them look their best. When you're advocating on behalf of your industry, you're also trying to help them put their best foot forward and help people understand what they do.
So you're telling me you really see a parallel between serving the customer, working in a men's clothing store at 13 years old, and nowadays being the president and CEO of the American Forest and Paper Association. And I guess the other thing is that, you know, you learned how to do a lot of different things in this men's clothing store, everything from alterations to running the register. Do you do that as the head of this association?
I hope not.
Yeah, but I mean, you do a wide variety of things as the head of the
Absolutely.
Association.
Absolutely. That's a great thing about this job is there's never a dull moment, and every day is different. So the challenges of dealing with whatever the issue is, public policy issue, or dealing with staffing, meeting a payroll, all of the things that go into making sure you have a successful organization are really very similar.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Who's got the next question here?
Sure. Donna, this is Tracy. I wondered, growing up and working in the men's clothing store, when you meet somebody new, do you kind of size them up based on the clothes they're wearing?
No, not really.
So you grew up working in this men's clothing store, and you mentioned earlier that you had in third grade, you developed an interest. Tell us a little bit about that interest.
In third grade, I developed an interest in politics. I was interested in what was happening in the community. It was 1968, and Richard Nixon and Hubert Humphrey were running for president. I don't know what struck me about it, but it was really the beginning of kind of a lifelong interest in politics.
And you specifically remember an interest in politics. What was it about politics that interested you?
I think it was that I saw public service and public policy as a way to help people. Going back to my roots in Kansas, where I grew up, people were very trusting, very nice, cared for their neighbors, took care of each other. And I thought it was partly my civic duty and responsibility to be involved and engaged in the community.
Right. You thought it was your civic responsibility to be engaged in the community? Where'd you get that from?
probably from my parents. They weren't particularly politically active, but they were very active in the community. My dad was the president of the Lions Club. My mother was the president of the Soroptimus Club. So each of those organizations deal with public service. And
Who are you more like, mom or dad?
It's hard to say. I have a little bit from both of them.
So both of them were involved in the community. It sounds like it planted the seeds for you to be involved as the president of this national association. Mm-hmm. Lauren, do you have a question there?
Yeah. How did witnessing your parents running their own business together shape your career?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it shaped my career in a few different ways. First, in a small business, you're responsible. You're responsible for everything. And so I think as I developed my own sense of leadership in my career, I learned to be a very independent person and to take on responsibility and to actually thrive with that responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Matthew, what's going through your mind?
Just following up on Lauren's question, what sort of traits did you learn from watching your parents in the business growing up?
That's
a great question. To be persistent. When you show up at work every day, show up, give it your all, never leave anything on the on the table. Just put it all out there and give it your best shot.
Mm-hmm. Tracy, what else is going? What else are you thinking about?
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, as AFMPA, the organization probably has to be bipartisan. I wondered how your sort of personal politics, and you don't have to get into, you know, which side you lean on, but were your personal politics, you think they came a lot from your parents, from the community you grew up in, from the things you read and what you saw on TV growing up?
Mm-hmm. I would say really from all of those, from the community that I was in, you know, small rural community, conservative community, but the sense of personal responsibility, again, I think kind of permeated my political development. And interesting, I don't remember that much about the campaign in 1968, but I do remember how my interest was piqued by it, and that sort of followed me then through college, where
Dan?
I became more interested.
Mm-hmm. Dan?
Hi, Donna. I'm curious if you participated in any civic activities when you were younger, or even academic activities that would foster your advocacy.
Sure. I was in Girl Scouts, and in high school I attended the Kansas Sunflower Girls State legislative days in the Capitol. So I was very interested there. And then through college, I was involved in a lot of different organizations. I was in the College Republicans on campus at the university I attended in Indiana, and was helpful in bringing in political candidates. I was
excellent.
All in for
Lauren?
Politics.
Who's been the biggest role model in your life?
Probably my mother, I would say. She's 86 years old and retired about a year ago from a volunteer job at her church.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say she has had a huge impact on my life.
Tracy, you have another question there?
Oh, not right.
All right. Matthew?
I was just thinking back to the role you play at American Forest and Paper Association, just how huge a group it is and how many different interests there are, from environmental to industry to jobs. What about your time in the store really shaped your ability to lead such a diverse group?
Mm. Well, I think, again, it's kind of going back to the customer. You're trying to satisfy a need. And as representing an industry association, what you're trying to do is help people come together and find out what they have in common. So building consensus is critically important. It may not seem like it, but when you're in a clothing store and you're trying to help a customer satisfy a particular need, you're really helping them find what fits for them, what works for them. And that's what I'm able to do, and I really enjoy it. It's something different every day. That's a great part of working, whether you're working in a business where you have a lot of different challenges,
Dan?
Or in an association.
Dan? Mm-hmm. So what's the best part of your job, Donna? What do you enjoy the most?
I really enjoy the people. I enjoy.
Is your job 9 to 5? You know, you're the boss. You get to go in 10, 11 o'clock and leave 2 or 3.
My husband will tell you my job is 24/7.
So you're married. Do you have any children?
I do. I have two
daughters.
What's
the similarity between being the president and CEO of the American Forest and Paper Association and being a mom? What's the similarity?
I learn a lot about being the leader of an organization from my children.
What are you talking about? Give me an example.
They have a way of just giving you the unvarnished truth, mm-hmm. which truthfully every boss needs.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address for this organization known as the American Forest and Paper Association?
AFANDPA.org.
I guess you don't have to work weekends, do you? Do you work weekends for that job?
Absolutely.
Does it feel like work to you?
No, I love it. I enjoy it.
It's probably like working in the shoe store, in the clothing store, where, like, you know, you were, like, working, and you sort of, like, enjoy work, don't you?
I absolutely love to work. It's my passion, mm-hmm. Because I believe in what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Let me have the, and that organization's the website address one last time?
AFANDPA.org.
We've been speaking with Donna Harmon, President and CEO of the American Forest and Paper Association, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce John White, President, Consortium for Ocean Leadership. John, what is the Consortium for Ocean Leadership? What are you guys doing?
We are a consortium of ocean science and technology institutions across the country and beyond. Mm. This includes academic institutions, universities, laboratories, aquaria, and industries.
Where are you from originally?
Born in Panama City, Florida.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I have one brother, one sister.
And where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the youngest I'm 7 years younger than my sister, 9 years younger than my brother.
And tell us a little bit about what kind of sports did you play as a kid?
It was hard to find a sport that I didn't play. Baseball, mm-hmm. football, tennis, basketball.
What was the common role or the common effect you had on all those different teams and all those different sports?
I found myself to be more of a team builder and enthusiasm, trying to share my willingness to work hard and play hard with others.
Does that have anything to do with the role you have nowadays as the president of the Consortium for Ocean Leadership?
Yeah, as I look back on it, yes, I think it does, because, you know, I try to inspire folks to make sure they know that what they're doing is important. There are grave, grave opportunities and consequences to what's happening mm-hmm. with our ocean.
Didn't you mention that when you were a kid, something happened in the family dynamic when you were about 7 years old or so?
Yes, my father was killed in a car accident when I was 7 years old mm-hmm. down in Florida.
So how'd that affect you? I mean, you're the youngest of three. Dad suddenly is no longer there. What would that do?
Well, what it meant was that my mom was the leader of the household in so many ways. So really, I learned a lot from her she was able to do things, and also from my brother and sister.
What'd you learn from your mom?
Well, I learned, she had a passion for ensuring that people were treated fairly, regardless of gender, ethnicity, equal opportunity thing.
How'd you see that?
I saw that in being, always telling me and getting me and my brother and sister to look at everything through the eyes of the other person. Rich, poor, doesn't matter background, that they're real people and you've got to look at them that way. And she was just always about that. And that's why she actually became a psychologist later on.
She became a psychologist later on.
And a guidance counselor for high school.
Interesting. And you mentioned that there was a next-door neighbor that had a pretty significant influence on you. What was that all about?
Yeah, so this was when I was younger, just about the time my father died. It was a Navy diver, worked in Panama City, and he and his wife were big into the ocean. They taught me how to snorkel when I was about 6 and, just basically enhanced my already love for the ocean.
All right.
And
so,
maybe the Navy.
All right. So you think that had anything to do with the gig you're doing nowadays?
Certainly, because I just loved the ocean ever since, as long as I can remember. And also, I joined the Navy as well. I did, I was in I served in the U.S. Navy for 32 years. So, and I've just always wanted to work in and around the ocean.
Matthew, didn't you have some sort of an observation about his Navy career and what he's doing nowadays? Or was there a thought about that?
Well, Herb, it was just that the Navy is such a huge organization and so many people joined for very different reasons. It seems like John joined due to his passion for the ocean, really carried that through his entire career,
and has followed through with his post-Navy career as an Ocean Consortium director.
Is that true, Jonathan?
Yeah, when I look back on it, certainly I think it is. You know, a lot of people, they go to the Naval Academy, they go through ROTC, they know they want to serve in the military. I wanted to really serve the ocean first, and I found a great way to do that going into the U.S. Navy.
Mm-hmm. Lauren? Or
how did being the youngest child affect your leadership style?
Ooh, that's a good question, yeah.
I think, you know, it really... I learned a lot of hard lessons from my older brother and sister, and I always felt like I was picked on. They felt like I was spoiled. So I think I learned a lot of how to get things done, but do so without upsetting other people. So sometimes how to lead and influence without being the oldest or the senior most individual in an organization.
Wow. You learned. Give me that again. I thought that the boss is supposed to yell and scream. What are you talking about?
I've always been more of the kind of coach or person who likes to influence people to work hard, knowing that there's nothing that I won't do, and I'll work harder than anybody in the organization, but that you can really influence people in better and more productive ways a lot of times than yelling and screaming.
Wow. Tracy, what are you thinking?
Yeah, John, you spent a long time in the Navy. Did you sort of view that when you went in as service, you know, to the oceans, or was it more of an adventure?
I think it was all of those. I had my family background with service. Every member of my family served in the military or with the military at some point. I wanted to work with the ocean, as I mentioned. And I just think it was a chance to bring it all together, of being in the Navy, at sea, looking at the ocean, and really serving everything at once.
Mm-hmm. Dan?
So, John, you said your mom basically raised you as a single parent.
Yep.
How did that sort of influence you when you were younger? And how does that translate now to your current work?
Well, one thing is she was very busy. She was working full-time. She went on to get a master's degree. She had three kids. The two of my older brother and sister were teenagers, so I had a lot of freedom. So it taught me a lot of independence, a lot of hard lessons, things I got in trouble when I shouldn't have. And, you know, it's just really, it's sort of life hits you full in the face at that point, and I learned a lot very quickly.
And do you use any of that knowledge today in your...
I certainly do. I tend to learn quickly, but have a lot of overall perspective on that. You know, you have to be independent. You got to make hard decisions quickly, and there are consequences when you screw up. So be careful, but also mm-hmm. take risk.
Matthew, what do you think?
Herb, I just want to follow up on Dan's last question. I have this vision of the military as being very command and control. But you mentioned a lot about your mother growing up and how she really forced you to be open to everyone. How did that really impact your post-military life as the head of a very diverse consortium?
Well, I think it allows me to interact with people, again, of all backgrounds, of people that, you know, there may not have great strengths in their ability to communicate or things like that. But it's really bringing a team together, again, which you have to do in the military, which, you know, certainly has a... as our mom had to bring it together, a team as a family during some pretty hard times as well.
Lauren?
Can you share a distinct childhood memory about the ocean that's impacted your career?
Well, certainly growing up with my next-door neighbors, but again, my mom had a passion for the ocean. My earliest memories are at the beach and wandering around the beach. I fell in love with the ocean. My mom used to take a round oatmeal box and cut a 3-inch slice of that, put some rubber bands on it, tied around my head when I watched Flipper and Sea Hunt with Lloyd Bridges. I was just that love for the ocean started at that age, and it, you know.
So this love that you have, this passion you have for the oceans, you've been able to, you're playing to your passions. You're working with your passion.
Absolutely.
Did you intend it this way, or did this sort of develop this way?
I always knew I wanted to work doing something with and around the ocean. I always had that passion. I had no idea I would be carrying it forward. I would actually have the opportunity to do this. I would have said it would be much more likely. Of course, at one point, I was going to be a pro tennis player, but that didn't work out.
Is your mom aware of what you're doing nowadays?
She was. She died a couple years ago, but she was absolutely aware of it and thrilled with it.
How did she feel about your being the president of the Consortium of Ocean Leadership, considering what she strapped on your head as a kid?
Well, the unfortunate thing is she used to give a lot of money to the Ocean Conservancy, which is a sister organization, but more about conservation, and she never got it straight, so she kept going to the wrong one.
What's the website address for this Consortium for Ocean Leadership?
The website is oceanleadership.org.
Oceanleadership.org. What's the best part of your gig? What do you enjoy the most?
Working with young scientists that are so passionate about trying to understand our ocean and make our ocean better for all of us and our security and prosperity.
You really enjoy that, don't you?
Absolutely. Well, I can go out and visit an institution and look some young man or woman in the eye and see that passion there. That's what makes it all worthwhile.
We're speaking with John White, president of the Consortium for Ocean Leadership, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Rob Luna, president of AirTech, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Rob, what is AirTech? What are you guys doing?
AirTech is a software development firm that builds customizable advanced analytics solutions that are tailored to find answers hidden within our customers' existing data.
I'm not sure I understand all that, but how big or how large, how small or how large is this organization?
We are 25 employees.
Uh-huh. And let's see, where are you from originally?
I was born in Boston, but raised in the Dominican Republic.
You were born in Boston, raised in the Dominican Republic, and did you end up graduating high school in the Dominican Republic or in the United States?
In the United States, Providence, Rhode Island.
All right. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two older brothers. I'm the youngest of three.
All right. The youngest of three. So why did you move to the Dominican Republic and then back to the United States?
We moved back to the Dominican Republic because my father We moved here to the States. My father wanted to play baseball, and it didn't work out, so mm-hmm. We went back to the Dominican Republic.
And then why'd you come back to the United States?
For opportunity.
Opportunity. How young were you when you came back to the United States?
I was 10 years old.
What was it like coming back to the United States? What do you remember about that?
It was a bit of a culture shock, but what I remember most is just having a lot of opportunity in education, opportunity for my parents to for employment, and just
tell
freedom.
Us more about that. What do you mean? What about opportunity and freedom? Give us more detail about that. What do you remember?
I remember my mom going to college at night to become a nurse, and then because of her commitment to that cause, she did become a nurse and was successful at it for about 10 years.
Did your mom have an influence on you?
She had a significant
like what?
Influence. I learned so much from my mom. I learned the entrepreneurial spirit.
Didn't you tell us that your mother made you read the newspaper?
Yeah, so
how young were you?
I as early as 7-8 years old.
And this was in the Dominican Republic?
In the Dominican Republic.
So in the Dominican Republic, your mother, and what's the native language of the Dominican Republic?
Spanish.
So in the Dominican Republic, why was your mother making you read English newspapers?
Well, one, she knew that we would end up in the States again.
Or she had an intention of bringing you back here.
Right,
yes.
She had an intention of bringing me back to uh-huh. the States and my brothers as well.
Yeah.
And she wanted me to be caught up in current events and be able to speak the language when we returned to
Didn't
the States.
Didn't that make you feel a little strange in the Dominican Republic?
It did, because the Spanish is the native language there, and I didn't quite understand why I needed to learn English.
Sounds like Mom had some vision, huh?
She sure did.
And let's see, you're a partner in this business, right?
Yes, my partner is Anthony Rivera.
And Anthony's here with us. So tell me, your partner, Anthony Rivera, what does he do better than you do?
I think he's more calm, cool, and collected.
Anthony, what does Rob do better than you?
I think he doesn't give up. Tenacity, stamina, something I've learned from him in our partnership.
Rob, where'd that tenacity come from?
Just watching my mom's drive, her commitment.
Give me an example of your mom's drive. What are you talking about? I guess bringing three boys, again.
Yeah, so my mom and dad divorced at 14, and my mom was still a nurse at the time, and she decided that in order to make ends meet, she wanted to start investing in real estate.
Wait a minute. This is a single mom who's a nurse with three kids. Your mom wants to go ahead and start investing in real estate?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Keep going. I'm listening.
And she did so successfully and was able to provide quality of life for my brothers and I.
How do you know she did it successfully?
Well, she quit her job nursing to do real estate full time.
Uh-huh. What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
It made me a risk taker. It helped me become a better leader. When faced with adversity, you don't crumble under pressure.
Let me ask you a question. I read in the newspaper that partners are always suing each other and business is all blood and guts. Why don't you just make all the money yourself? Why would you bother having a partner?
this sense of teamwork, this sense of two minds being better than one.
Do you trust him?
Absolutely.
How do you know you can trust him?
We always seem to be on the same wavelength. We've gone through a lot together. When we first started the
business. Did you have a shareholders agreement when you started the business?
No. No, we did not.
Uh-huh,
we okay. have one now, thankfully.
All right, who's got the next question here?
I've got one. Rob, you mentioned your dad tried to play baseball professionally. That's a pretty high-risk, high-reward kind of move to make for a career. What lessons did you take from that? Did that reinforce your risk-taking, or did that make you maybe take a step back and be a little more cautious about some things?
No, I definitely wanted to follow in his footsteps because I was passionate about baseball. My mom was more passionate about me being a more well-rounded human being. For example, she forced me to read the newspaper and other different types of American literature. So that I would be better with a book than with a bat and glove.
Give me that expression, book versus bat. Where'd that come from?
It came from my mom. She said she basically instilled in me early on that if I became well educated, that's something that no one would ever be able to take away from me, and that an injury could ruin your career as a baseball player.
Wow, this is a woman with vision. Who's got the next question?
What do you remember about your childhood in the Dominican Republic that's impacted your leadership style?
Seeing my mom's commitment to wanting to get us out of a situation where out of poverty, essentially, and seeing her lead the family through that mission made me the leader that I am today.
Is mom around nowadays?
No, my mom passed a year and a half ago.
Was this prior to you starting the business or after you started the business?
After I started the business.
How do you think she felt about you starting this business?
She was very proud of me. At first, she wanted me to be a little more conservative and work a job, and I told her, this goes against everything you taught me.
Was she ever able to visit your business? Was she able to walk in the doors of the business?
She was never able to do that. She would just hear stories of the things that I was doing by me.
Mm-hmm. Did she ever meet your partner, Anthony?
Yes, she did meet my partner.
What did she think of Anthony?
She trusted him, so therefore I trusted him.
So you were talking to your mom about starting the business and about your partnership as well.
Right, because she had this trust but verify mentality, and she instilled that in me.
In spite of that, she said, Anthony, he makes the grade.
Yeah, she wanted to know who her little boy was in business with.
All right, good. Dan, what do you got?
So I'm curious about being bilingual as somebody who's not. Did that have any influence on your current position?
It does. It makes me unafraid to communicate with others and just being able to engage anyone. It's helped me significantly.
Are you the communicator of your company?
I would say primarily I do a lot of talking, but Anthony and I think we both have a role to play in communication.
Mm-hmm. Matthew?
Rob, your partner mentioned your tenacity, your stamina, your drive. As the youngest of three brothers, do you think growing up that this kind of instilled these qualities in you?
Yeah, in my household, that was the name of the game. I was always getting picked on by my brothers. They made tons of bad decisions, and that helped me become a better leader because I was very observant, and I learned what to do and what not to do, and that helps. That definitely helped me shape my decisions.
Tracy, what are you thinking?
Yeah, can you draw any parallels between your relationship with Anthony and maybe the relationship you had with your brothers?
Well, Anthony and I commonly refer to ourselves as brothers because we've had the toughest conversations that you could ever imagine without filters, and very similar to how my brothers and I would communicate. And no matter when faced with adversity, no matter how tough the challenge, no matter how much Anthony and I have yelled at each other, it always ends with a hug and this optimism about how we know we can make it through any sort of challenging situation.
That what a stellar question, Tracy. Lauren, what are you thinking?
Did your dad's baseball career do anything to shape who you are today?
What baseball instilled in me is my competitiveness. When I played baseball for nine innings, I would look at my opponent and I would want to tear their heads off on the field. And it's translated into my thrill of the hunt in business, where I'm just tenacious about getting after work, about leveraging tools that we have internally, about leveraging relationships, about negotiating. And I learned all of that on a baseball diamond.
Mm-hmm. Anthony, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
21 total.
21
sisters, 5 brothers.
And did they help? Did they prepare you to be a brother with Rob?
Oh, absolutely. The different dynamics that I've learned definitely helped me with my relationship with Rob.
What are you talking about?
Just you know, when Rob says that we're like brothers, we really are. I mean, when we first decided to do this business, you know, the fact that we can talk to each other without filters, without the BS, I think that to me, we're beyond partners, we're beyond friends. We can look each other eye to eye and say, hey, you messed up, and hold each other accountable. And that's what family
Excellent.
Does.
Excellent. What's the website address for Airtech?
The website address is AirtechInc.com. That's AretecInc.com.
We've been speaking with Rob Luna and his partner, Anthony Rivera, from Airtech. This is Herb Cohen. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. Back in a moment, right after this break. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Daniel Malarkey, Tracy Hammond, Matthew Ross, and Lauren DeSantis Thane from Polsinelli, the law firm here in Washington, D.C. I'd like to introduce Guy Berliner, owner and president of Berliner Specialty Distributors. Guy, what is Berliner Specialty Distributors? What are you guys doing?
We are the exclusive distributors in the Mid-Atlantic region for the best-selling ice creams, brands like Good Humor, Ben & Jerry's, Klondike, mm-hmm. Magnum, etc.
And how large or how small is the organization?
We cover from New Jersey to North Carolina, Virginia border.
How many people?
About 100 people.
About 100 people. And I understand you got involved in this business with your brother. Is that true?
That is accurate.
So you guys started this business together.
We started a business prior to that where we introduced Häagen-Dazs and Dove Bars, subsequently sold that business to Edie's, and then got started with Good Humor later on.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, typically you hear that brothers don't go into business together, and if they do, they start fighting and kill each other. You guys really got involved in starting this together. Is this an older brother or younger brother you got involved with?
He's 5 years older.
Uh-huh. So I'm wondering, what happened in your childhood to make things a little bit different? Were mom and dad in business or something like that?
Yeah, my mom and dad were co-owners of an electronics exporting business, mm-hmm. and they worked out of their home. So we were growing up with business all around us.
And how young were you when you started working in that business?
As young as I can remember. Maybe I was 8 years old, just stuffing envelopes, whatever my parents needed us to do.
Mm-hmm. Didn't it feel weird? Your friends were outside playing and you're stuffing envelopes?
I didn't do it that often because the pay was very bad. Room and board.
Mm-hmm.
So that
and
was it.
So, but it didn't seem odd to you that you were working in the family business. What was the talk around the dinner table about?
One of the main things I could remember around the dinner table is who owes my parents money.
Mm-hmm. So how did that affect you? How did that affect you?
I try to make sure our AR is low.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of sports did you play as a kid?
Growing up, I basically played all sports, and mm-hmm. I particularly liked tennis.
Mm-hmm. What was it about tennis that you liked?
Well, it was just a sport that was one-on-one. You're independent. You didn't deal with the rest of the team. So I enjoyed mm-hmm. playing with teams, but I really enjoyed it. Took it up, and I loved it.
So you enjoy the individuality, but you also enjoy the team. What was your role on that team?
Well, I was the captain of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we had a coach, and he was really responsible for keeping things together. But anytime I could give a little rah-rah, I was there.
So on one hand, you're comfortable taking the lead, but on the other hand, you're also comfortable following.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's one of the reasons you and your brother had a successful business relationship.
We had a very good relationship, mm-hmm. and we did not have many arguments like you hear some of these horror stories.
Mm-hmm. Tracy, what do you think?
Well, you mentioned your brother is 5 years older than you. I wondered if any of the dynamics of when you were younger and he being significantly older than you carried over to when you guys were in business together.
Well, I think because he was 5 years older, which at that time was a big difference, we had interactions with each other, but we were far enough apart in age where we didn't really have many conflicts. And if we did, we kept it away from my parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds to me like mom and dad really helped set the tone because they brought you guys into this business. And did you guys do the exact same thing working with your mom and dad's business?
Well, you say, did we do the same exact thing? He did basically the same types of things. Mm-hmm. But then I think that's where we learned our independence.
What do you mean?
At least for myself, and I'm sure I could speak for my brother, we always knew that we were going to have our own business. We were not going to be working for anybody.
Lauren?
What adult influenced your life the most?
I would say my mom. My mom, because she was way ahead of the curve, and she was independent, yet she knew how to have a great time. And she and my dad really influenced us with food and family, and that's probably one of the reasons we got into the food business.
Daniel?
Who sort of ran your household growing up?
I think they both ran it, actually. But they gave us a lot of responsibilities, because when they moved out of the house and had their own office, I would get home from school and my mom would say, okay, turn the oven on, put this in the roaster, in the oven. So it was really a team effort.
So was your mom in charge of the house or was your dad in charge of the house?
I'd say more my mom.
More your mom. Uh-huh. And so was your mom more in control of the business also, or was that your dad?
I think it depends who you ask.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. We don't have enough time to get into
Matthew,
that one.
Matthew, what are you thinking, Matthew?
I've heard so many horror stories about family going into business with each other, but it sounds like your parents really were great models for that. How did they shape your desire to be in business with your brother?
I think we learned what to do and what not to do, because believe me, they had their quibbles every now and then. So I tried to learn, as Rob did, what to follow and what not to follow.
So this business, I mean, if you wanted to retire, could you at this point?
Well, there's two questions. One is on a financial side, and one is on a just.
So, what are the answers?
No and no. Uh-huh. My mom went to 96. I don't know how long I'm going to go. I got to have enough money.
So you enjoy work?
I do enjoy work.
Uh-huh. What do you enjoy about work?
Well, I think what I enjoy most is just getting out. Like after this, I'm going to go down to the U.S. Capitol Visitor Center, Air and Space Museum, Library of Congress, and see some of our customers and show them a little love.
So you really enjoy businesses because of the relationships.
I love the relationships, and we have a great company with some terrific people running the operations now, which I used to do many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I don't do that now.
So you're able to trust people. You look to find people you can really depend on.
We are very fortunate. We've got people with great experience, and it takes a long time. Been doing this a long time, so we're in a good spot now.
Do you have people that have been with you for a while?
Well, if they do a really good job, they're with us. And
how long have people been with you?
One guy has been with us for over 30 years.
Wow, you really do develop some loyalty there. That's fascinating. And you're in the business. What's the business you're distributing?
We're the distributors for what we call the out-of-home channel, which is not the supermarkets, but when you go up and down the street and you see these Good Humor cabinets with ice cream novelties in it. And we sell to the ice cream trucks, mobile vendors.
What's the website address for this organization?
It's Berliner Foods.
How do you spell that?
BERLINERFOODS.com.
Excellent. We're speaking with Guy Berliner, owner and president of Berliner Specialty Distributors, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Let's see. We've had the opportunity of speaking with Donna Harmon, President and CEO of American Forest and Paper Association, John White, President Consortium for Ocean Leadership, Rob Luna with his partner Anthony Rivera, President of AirTech, and most recently Guy Berliner, owner and president of Berliner Specialty Distributors. I would like to thank my co-hosts, who include Daniel Malarkey, Tracy Hammond, Matthew Ross, and Lauren DeSantis Thane, from the law firm of Polsonelli, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. What is the website address for this law firm, Polsonelli? Can somebody tell me?
Yep. Sure. It's polsonelli.com. That is polsinelli.com.
All right. And thank you for joining us today. Have a nice day. And don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.